It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network, federalnewsnetwork.com. Also, golfdmvpodcast.com. There's so many different outlets that we've just got to...
Instagram.
Mention all of them. Yeah, you can go to Instagram. It's Golf DMV Podcast on Instagram.
I believe so.
Yes, also, Golf DMV 1 on Twitter.
Right.
Golf DMV on Facebook.
Facebook.
And you can email us, golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
What's speaking of emails, I want to read a few.
All right.
And here's the thing. If you email us, we're going to read them on the show. Last show, I spent some time reading some emails, and I want to do the same thing today, if I could just pull it up.
And it was good to hear that people agreed with me or appreciated my commentary
about
on Diamond Ridge and its condition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it was also corroborated. I want to express that as well.
Right.
Yes, it was. Yes. Although someone did say that they didn't agree with the whole thing about the...
Maybe we was just, it was a drinking Saturday, and then Sunday people were showing up, showing out on Sunday morning. You know, domestic violence was going on or whatever that Sunday morning.
Something extra.
Well, one way or the other, so Diamond Ridge was agreed upon that the condition had been bad. Folks were disappointed.
Yes, muddy.
But we got to get you guys out to the Woodlands.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do need to go back to the woman's here.
Okay, so we'll figure that out.
Now, this email.
Yeah.
Okay. Want to read this email. Very important. We've got Ann. Ann, you are the first female to email Golf DMV. So, Ann, hello.
Hey, thanks, Ann.
She says, just found you guys. I listened to the Glendale episode, a place I so enjoyed as well, meeting all the wonderful women for the Sunday Wine and Nines. It was fun listening to the commentary about hole number 3. Thank you very much. And if I remember correctly, the commentary about hole number 3 on the first time we talked about Glendale this season was we were playing from the back tees.
Right. Because
we
figured, the one over the water, right?
Yeah.
The green is over
and dog legs left. Yes. Hard dog leg left.
Yeah.
And we said, listen, playing from the back tees, you know, this is easy. This course isn't long.
Yeah.
By the third hole, we decided to change.
Exactly. We decided LB had struggled enough, and he was like, you know what, let's move up.
Yeah. Because we had decided we were going to move up anyway, but then we get to Glendale, we're like, oh, we'll be able to crush this course. And then
that did not happen. And it crushed us.
Yeah. So thank you, Ann. By the way, Ann, spread the Golf DMV podcast to all the ladies in your nine and wine or wine and nines. Either way, it's fine. Whether you do the nine first or the wine, it doesn't matter to us.
I think you do the wine first.
Okay.
The wine and then play. Because then you're loose. Your swing is better after you have a couple
of didn't Paul Wilson tell LB that?
He did.
Yeah, he did. He sure did.
Because he was like, you were swinging a little stiff. He's like, listen, man.
Have a drink.
Yeah.
Guys, they have a couple of drinks. Their arms loosen up. When they hit it.
Hit the ball. Just hit it. It's right there.
It's right there.
Do what I'm telling you. So, Ann, spread the podcast to your buddies, number one. Number two, man, we'd love to do a Golf DMV thing with your nine and wine buddies.
Absolutely.
We'd come out and we'd play nine with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Have some wine and do a live broadcast.
With a bunch of ladies, I'm there.
And we have a bunch of ladies who don't play golf yet, but they're looking to play.
That's true.
And so we'd love to hook them up with you and your buddies, and you know, you guys can go out and represent new, you know, and
grow
new
the game.
Golfers, and grow the game for some ladies who want to play. By the way, I have a first time golfer update with my wife. By the way, we went to Maui and we played golf. Mm. Well, I played. She sat in the cart, but she's played since I think the last show or two shows ago when I talked about she played. But we'll have an update on that later.
Okay.
Also, we've got a Bristow Manor update. Lake Presidential with our buddy Aaron and his wife. They joined you guys.
Lake
Presidential.
Yeah, they did.
We'll have an update on that.
They sure did.
LPGA at the Brickyard a couple weeks ago. We'll talk about that a little bit. And Brooks Koepka kind of taking a shot at Roy. I think at Roy McIlroy. We'll get to that in the second half for our radio listeners, the second half of the show after 8 o'clock. LB's got some stuff. Oh, Cameron Champ finally decided to play golf.
And
Mommy.
So
he won something. And we've got a Korean Tour suspension.
I heard
Korean Tour laying the smackdown. Mm-hmm. We've got that coming up. Also, LB's got a WPFW situation going on. But first, go to the website, golfdmvpodcast.com. We've got a video up. And if you go on Instagram, you probably find the video. But LB's got this great, looks like a cotton Golf DMV purple shirt.
Yes,
we've got purple ones. We've got
purple,
blue ones.
Burgundy.
Oh, yeah.
Burgundy.
And blue.
Right.
And blue.
And, you know, and
they're up? The pictures are up?
The pictures will be up. So here's the thing.
See what he did there, folks? Well, I mean, it's only been what? I mean, October?
It has been a while. But I want to get pictures of all the different colors. But we'll start with the purple one. It's the one we have.
It's the same thing, but different color. I mean, right. Just buy a shirt. Just buy a shirt.
Yeah. Golf DMV podcast.
Buy a shirt.
.com. So let's jump into it. We've got tons of rounds to review and courses to review.
Yep.
Let's start with the Lake Presidential with Aaron and his wife. Now we've done
the most recent. Yes.
Yes. The most recent. We've done reviews previously on Lake Presidential. So we're not really telling you guys anything you haven't heard before about it. But, listen, it was September when you guys played. So late in the season,
yeah.
A real quick thing on the conditions and how the round go.
That was the 29th, right, Vern?
Yeah, that was the 29th.
29th of September.
29th of September.
So Vern and I played with Aaron Holland and his wife, Marilyn.
Marilyn, yep.
Now, just to be honest, they live in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Yes.
And they drove up to Upper Marlboro to play golf with us, so I appreciate it.
At 8 in the morning tea time, too.
Exactly. And when I got in the parking lot, they was already there.
Yep.
Because I tried to get there early because I had missed a range session that week. So mm-hmm. I wanted to get there early, get to the range.
Right.
They were in the parking lot when I got there.
Yep, me too.
So I definitely appreciate the determination it takes.
Right.
Because I would have had a hard time getting up before 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
He's a real golfer.
Yeah.
He's a real golfer.
And by the way, he said that. He said, listen, guys, I'll play anywhere at any time. Yeah. Just let me know and I'll be there.
Apparently he meant it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's his second time playing with you guys. Yeah. You played before.
He's been vetted. And he just texted me and asked me about playing again this Sunday. So he's about that life. He's about
Aaron
that golf life.
Bona fide golf DMV guy.
For real.
Right. So the Lake Presidential course is in same condition as always. It's been in good condition this whole season.
Yes.
Nice.
Nothing bad to say about the course at all as far as the condition goes.
Right.
Our games, on the other hand.
Okay.
let me phrase it. I'll talk about my game.
Okay.
Vern, you can talk about your game.
Okay.
All right.
My game was some crap. I mean, it was terrible.
Did you keep score?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
For most of it.
Okay.
For most of it.
Yeah.
There was like one hole, like number 14. No, it was on the front.
Yeah.
Well,
they start you on 10 split. Now.
You start on 10.
So what actual hole?
Right. So after the par 5,
right.
That par 4 there, the next par 4, whatever number, that's 14, I think, maybe.
Oh, you're talking about the one that goes down the hill. Front 9 or back 9?
On the actual,
just use the actual numbers there.
Front 9. Actual numbers is like 14 or something.
Hole 14, then. Yeah. Hole 14, where it goes way down the hill, and you got to, or the one we have to hit over the bridge.
Not that one.
Okay.
The one before that.
Yeah, okay, down the hill. After the par 5.
After the par 5.
Yeah, I got you.
Whatever number that one is.
That helps everyone on the podcast.
Exactly.
Hey, let's reset. Hole 14 at Lake Presidential. It's a downhill with a slight dogleg left.
I got you. Yes. Yeah. A little pond over there by the green.
Yep.
Yes. So on that shot, on that hole,
right.
Because it's not that long, I put my 4 wood out. Actually, 5 wood. I take it back. It's a 5 wood.
Right.
Off the tee.
Off the tee.
It's okay. Coming back to me now.
Yep. Yep. I hit it, and it went about 20 yards.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, I topped it. I mean, and I was swinging for the fences.
What did Aaron say?
I don't know if he said anything.
What did Marilyn say? Aaron's
cool. They cool. Okay. I mean, they didn't laugh or make fun of us at all.
They tried to be positive.
Yeah, they were very, very good.
Yeah.
So then I hit another one. So in my third shot now, my second shot, I had just tried to get back into the fairway, and
right.
I did go back into the fairway, not where I wanted it in the fairway, but it went back in the fairway.
Right.
So then I hit my next shot, and it did not go where I wanted it. It went back to the left. So I went from left, right, left.
Right.
And then my third shot, one, two, three, my third shot went right into the woods.
Yep.
Oh.
So I got in the car and just pulled up to the green.
I'm trying to tell you. Listen, it's funny because we don't really, I mean, we joke around a lot on the podcast, but we don't really make fun of each other's, downfalls on the course when we're doing it.
Right.
But there's no one more fun to be around when their game is going down the drain than LB.
So most of the time. When you know him.
Right.
When you know him. Now, my only concern, so he's right. The hole 14, for you guys, as a little context, is car path only, too. So LB has to walk everywhere, up and down this hilly course.
Go back across the fairway. Yeah.
You hit that one into the woods, you just walk to the car. You're not coming back.
Right.
I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll come back to that point. So what else about your game? Yeah. So does that pretty much encapsulate?
I gotta tell your part, and then I got another story.
So, man, for me, look, basically, I did also play like ass trash, man. I mean, it was look. So here's the deal. Driver, it was off the tee box was terrible. I actually hit some of the best iron shots I've ever hit there.
Okay.
Like a lot of the ones where I went, where I went out of bounds and I'm hitting my third shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the green.
Nice.
So, that's what made it more painful because I felt like If not for the driver, just a few holes. Right, you know, right. I'm under 90. I think it ended up with like a 94 or whatever. And Aaron crushed us. I don't know what he had. I know he broke 90, you know.
But, nice. Mm-hmm. If I could just interrupt you for a second. No, you're good. Like, at what point, because I think we all deal with this.
What's that?
When we're playing and we see that we're shaky off the tee, do we just put the driver up and say, okay, I'm going long iron or fairway wood. I'm right. not messing with this driver anymore. Well, I feel like we... Yeah. Because it's a fine line, because sometimes it's like, okay, I just need a hole or two to get it together.
Just to get in the fairway?
Then, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and then it's like, you know what? I need to abandon this now, even though it's hole number four.
So for me, I also hooked the 5-wood and the 3-wood okay. into the woods.
Right, exactly.
Unfortunately, yeah. But no, you're right. And I wasn't trying to overplay the course or anything like I used to or whatever.
I just wonder what's that threshold?
Like,
at what point do you say, okay, I need to start clubbing down because I can't control the driver?
Well, I find when I do that whatever club I go down to, whatever swing problem I've had with that club, with the driver,
mm-hmm. right,
it's translated down to the next club, too.
Okay.
So it does, because I've done that. I've done, say, okay, this next hole, I'm going to hit my 5-wood. I'm going to hit my hybrid.
Right.
And I hit that in the woods.
Right.
So yeah. I'm like, okay, well, then hell, I'm going to hit the driver. At least it was a bit more fun.
Yeah.
Right. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Right,
I'm
right.
I'm swinging
right.
for the fences. So let's go for it then. You know what I mean? Right. If they're all going in the woods, let's make it go far.
Yeah.
So it don't work for me, changing the club part. You know what I mean? It just, it is what it is.
It will sometimes for me, depending on the course. So that was pretty much the round of Claude. Like I said, mid 90s shouldn't have been, and I was disappointed.
He was very frustrated.
I was legit frustrated because I shouldn't, because the irons, everything else was working. Yeah. And if, you know, I've been putting well, and so to be bad, and I haven't been bad off the box in a while. So that was the thing.
You haven't been bad. No, you've been great off the tee box.
As far as being around LB when his game's going down, when you know him well, it is fun. The problem, though, I find myself is when we're playing in front of company, as we say, is
right, with
Maryland there, I'm like, man, I hope he's not so negative. Because it felt sometimes like it was early on in the game when he started down it, like, oh, here we go. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, don't be so negative. And then Aaron was just like, no, it's okay. It's like, if you play like trash. And like every time they tried to compliment him, uh-huh. He just brought it back down. Right. So I just hear them in the car like, I don't want to play with him anymore.
Right.
He's so negative.
He's such a downer.
But thankfully, he texts us, so he's down to come back out. He knows what it is. So
yeah. Nice. Yeah. So back to Aaron and Marilyn, his wife. So after the round, we had...
if Marilyn comes back out, I got to try to get Sierra out then. But go ahead.
Yeah. She's actually a pretty good player, too.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep.
So after the round, we stayed at Lake Presidential, which we talked about going to a different restaurant to eat mm-hmm. Before they took the drive back. We ended up staying at Lake Presidential and ate. So we had a good conversation. I mean, we probably stayed an hour.
Right.
We ate and just talked. They're good people. Great people. I enjoyed the conversation.
I got to get out and meet Aaron. I will say this. Mm-hmm. Like after the first round, you guys play with Aaron... and just letting you know this, Aaron. LB and Vern had nothing but great things to say about you.
Oh, yeah. Good dude.
So I want to go
back to Lake Presidential. So this is what to me was the funniest part.
Just like most of our listeners, like Gary Boston, yeah. Jerry Boston, all these guys, they're all
good people. Good people.
Yeah.
Yeah. All we have are good people that listen to us. So when we get to the gauntlet, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
So we pull up to the gauntlet, right?
So mad.
It's hilarious. I wasn't laughing so much at the time. Outside, inside, I was dying.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't say anything during the time. So we get to the gauntlet, and we've talked about the gauntlet on the podcast.
Numerous times. Everybody knows
about the gauntlet. Yeah. If you don't know nothing, you know about
the
gauntlet.
5, 6, 7, 8 at Lake Presidential.
Exactly. So we get to the gauntlet. We tell Aaron, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. This is the gauntlet. This is it right here, right? Yeah. So Vern, I think Vern, you teed up first.
I think Aaron did.
Yeah,
actually.
Aaron teed off first. He got his out in the fairway over to the right.
Yep.
Okay.
And he was like, okay, good shot. You might have a good shot going in.
Might have a shot
from there. Vern tees up. One of us teed up.
I hooked it. Yep.
Right. Vern hooked it into the woods left.
Yep.
I teed up. Hooked mine into the woods left.
Yep. Okay.
Uh-huh. And I forget Marilyn. I think she got hers in the fairway.
I think so too. Yeah.
I think she was in the fairway too.
Nice.
So me and Vern over in the woods.
Marilyn played from 4 tees, or
she played from the women's tees.
Okay.
So Aaron and Marilyn in the fairway. Me and Vern in the woods.
Yep.
Okay.
So I don't find the body's drop. Marilyn ball went long.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Went down the little.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, went down to the. Yeah, so
she got her ball, and Vern found his, and you went over the little ravine.
Yeah, it was a bad situation.
Yeah, he had a couple bad shots, basically.
Yeah, I came up short. It was terrible.
I had a two. Well, my second shot didn't go where I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
but it didn't get lost. Okay. So I was able to find it, and I hit third over the other side.
Right.
Up into the rough on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Aaron is staying over his ball. So he's got like 220 something.
Yeah.
To the green. And he's
impossible.
Like, right. You know, we all know, well, in my mind, I'm like, oh, he's not going to make that. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Aaron gets some wood out. I don't know what three or four or whatever. Like something.
Yeah. Yep.
He's like, I don't know about this. Got a little downhill. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He whacks it, right? It's heading like it's going to go toward the green, but like it might hit in the rough and on a hill and ricochet into the woods left.
Okay.
But it doesn't. It hits the mound, pops up, rolls on the green. He's putting for birdie.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, we've been talking about the gauntlet for all this time.
And how hard it is.
He's putting for birdie. And me and Vern in the woods.
I was so mad. He was like, these guys are trash. This course is regular.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing hard about this at all.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Was funny.
But it was
funny to me. I just had a good, it was fun. I had a good time with them. But the gauntlet did not prove it. Let me say it. For us, the gauntlet is hard.
Right. Yeah.
For Aaron, it's like, it's another
four holes.
All right, well, there you go. Good news is we had a great time with the listener and his wife.
Yeah,
and,
oh, absolutely.
And LP is back. It stood through two seasons for the most part.
It's been solid the whole season. Yep.
And by the way, you were just at LP, Vern, with Garrett, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Doing a lesson or something like that?
Yeah, I did a lesson yesterday. Yeah, it kind of went just like that round where it started off good, where he was like, listen, you know, help me with my backswing conditions, and I was able to fix that relatively quickly. And mm-hmm. when he started getting into like, okay, you know, now let's transition into the downswing and start rotating.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we spent most of our time. Look, I want to get this disclaimer out there. Great, you should go see him, go work with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I was definitely putting him through. Right? So like, as I'm trying to rotate, I keep like slicing him off, and I'm not getting my hands. He's like, well, we're trying different things, and mm-hmm. finally, I hit one sort of okay. Uh-huh. He's like looking on his thing. He was like, yes, thank you. about time, mother. He didn't say about time, but you can definitely tell. This was like, you know, I was giving him all he can handle. But yeah, it was good. It was a good lesson, whatever. So he helped me out.
Nice. That's crazy. It's Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network and golfdmvpodcast.com. So Sierra and I were celebrating 10 years of marriage. We went to Maui. And we stayed at Wailea Grand Resort or Grand Wailea Resort. They've got three golf courses there.
Okay.
And, you know, I brought my clubs. She wasn't sure whether she wanted to play or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, if you're not sure, just leave your clubs here because there's no point in dragging them and, you know, paying for it. And we can just rent some clubs.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, we go up there. She decides she doesn't want to play, but we played on, we got there on a Wednesday. I think we played that Thursday morning. They had the gold course, emerald course, blue course. They said blue mm-hmm. course was the most family friendly. It wasn't the longest.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like the middle course and not super challenging either.
Right,
so
right.
I said, well, let's just do that one because I'm fine with going to play a challenging course. But, you know, with her just riding around, like, oh, she probably mm-hmm. don't feel like riding in the woods all day looking for a ball.
Right.
So anyway, the blue course at Grand, I mean, wonderful. It was a gorgeous course.
Okay.
So here's the thing. So we didn't have a rental car, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
For that day, there were 2 days that we did get a rental car for certain things we wanted to do, but for that day we didn't. But it was right across the street from the resort.
Oh, so you just walk across?
Yeah, I walked across the street with my golf club.
Yeah, absolutely.
There we go. Okay.
You weren't the only one.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
And so we did that. And it was a beautiful course. I mean, some really, really, really nice views. Holes number four, seven, and I think 12 had really, they were elevated tee boxes, mm-hmm. and then you felt like you could see the whole island from there.
Cool.
I mean, it was just gorgeous views. But the big story is, and we've talked about this before, it's funny how it seems, and I've been the main one going on people about this.
Okay.
Everybody shoots their best shots when no one's around.
And that's nobody's true. There.
Yep. I shot an 83.
Yep.
An 83.
What was the story? So, what was the story of that round? Was it iron? Was it everything in particular? Or
I hit every fairway.
Okay,
I hit every fairway, and I was putting good.
Okay,
and my irons were okay. I mean, I was getting on the green or coming up short. But
I'm
then,
guessing because you were hitting every fairway, like your approach shots were pretty
right,
easy.
Exactly, right, right, exactly. Right.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
and that was the story. Now, I will, but let me also say this: I didn't warm up. I mean, I got there about 15 minutes before the tee time, but So at the Gold Course and the Emerald Course, they have, you know, a driving range and practice area. But at the Blue Course, it's basically was a Patuxent Green situation where they got mats and a net.
They got a net.
And I'm like, I'm not hitting it. No. And so I gave myself two mulligans per front. Well, two mulligans on the front, two on the back.
Okay.
Right.
And so there were definitely.
Did you use them?
Oh, 100%. And it was one time, and actually I gotta get Sierra to send me this video. She took it on the phone. Mm-hmm. There was one mulligan that I used. I was maybe 25 feet away from the hole.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I put the ball, and it came up a little short and left. I didn't play the break right.
Right.
I dropped the ball and hit it again, and it went right in.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to play the first miss on IG. Okay. I'll put the one that went in, but I'm not going to put the one.
Of course.
On Instagram. Yeah. And so, no, we had a great time. Okay. And you know, if folks are going on vacation and you're in Maui, Grand Wailea has great, has a couple great courses.
Yeah, if you just happen to be in Maui, stop by. Yeah.
That's where you vacation and then stop by. Yeah. I thought that I was going to get Sierra to come out and play, but she didn't. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to. But they did have a riding fee, $35 and she could ride.
Oh, so that was it.
Yeah. Well, it's cheaper than Cancun.
But yeah. Oh, right. Was for to ride?
Yeah.
What is it?
It was $100.
Oh.
To ride?
Yeah.
You can ride back to the hotel room.
Right. I'll catch you after this round.
Get $20, you can go back to the hotel.
Good night. All right. So anyway, we've got so that's the Maui golf update. Bristow Manor, you guys played there recently, right?
Yeah, we played Bristow with Coach B and Charles.
Yeah, and Charles.
Came up, and that date was, I'm looking at my notes here, that was Sunday.
That was the previous Sunday.
September 22nd.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been since we've done a podcast.
Wow.
Just
yeah. All
right.
Even though some of you guys listening may not know.
Yeah. Shout out to Stephen Barrett. He's the general manager there at Bristow Manor.
Bristow Manor.
He comped our rounds. So we appreciate that. That's one perk of being a podcast producer or co-host. What is my title? I'm a co-host.
Listener, as Charles and my dad are.
Right.
Yes.
And other GMs should, you know, take note of that.
Follow suit.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I mean, we do this stuff for free, but not really.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Comp our rounds if your course is in good shape. Because you don't want to get us out there for free and then we trash the course.
Here's the caveat to all you golf courses out there.
Right.
We will come play, and we will come play for free.
Right.
And we will give an honest review.
Right.
And we'll just be honest. If your course is in good shape, we'll say it's in good shape.
We're going to keep it real.
If your stuff is trash, we're going to say, hey, they comped out rounds and their course was trash.
Yeah, I mean, right. I cannot be bought unless you have shoes or balls or clothes. But outside of that.
And four or five figures. Yeah, I mean, you know, then we can talk about changing my review. But up until that point, you get an honest review.
We do a lot of pay for play here. Yeah.
My character costs money.
Yeah, exactly. I can't get it away for free. But yeah, it was a really good, really nice round. Greens and fairways are beautiful. Link style course. I like link style course.
Yeah,
I really do. And even the rough was rough. It was dry.
Yes.
But they hadn't had any rain in like 6 weeks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we still haven't had it. So now we're probably going on 8 because it still hasn't rained.
Yeah, I think we're due like Sunday or something.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I was really hoping some of them hurricanes. And I know people don't, oh, no, you don't want a hurricane. Well, I kind of did.
Right.
I didn't want it to like come slam us.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get close enough to us so we could get some rain.
Right.
Because
right.
my grass is all brown. I mean, my house. The good part is I don't have to cut grass because it ain't growing because it's all dead.
Right.
The bad part is
it's all brown.
It's brown and dead. So, hey, come on, man.
It's the
man.
Good and the bad.
Right. So, yeah, good round. I shot 92. So, that was back when I still had kind of a little swing going on.
Lake Presidential was your most recent round?
Yes.
Last Sunday.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we remember we played Hampshire Greens the Friday before that, the 20th.
Yeah, with Glenn.
With Glenn and Rick.
And Rick. And old Rick Rock.
Yeah, Rick McCormick. Yeah, and then I had 89. So you know, so I'm trending the wrong way. Basically, okay, I'm going the wrong direction. So yeah, Bristow Manor. I like it. I mean, I've always liked it. So
yeah, it was great shape. Yeah. Same as it was when we went there in May or whatever it was. Nice. And also a good round. I don't remember what I shot. Probably like low 90s or something like that. Maybe I'm trying to look it up. But
this is one thing that happened there. That it was funny to me at least.
What's that?
So when I get to Bristow Manor. Me and another guy pulled up about the same time. You know, I'm pulling around getting my stuff out of the car. He grabs his stuff and he goes in and before me. So then by the time I get my stuff, I'm walking toward the clubhouse. He's walking back towards me. And I look at him funny like, you know, didn't you just go in? And he looks at me and says, I'm at the wrong course. So we both had a good laugh about that.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's
funny. You're not making that tea time party. You might as well go
exactly.
home.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm just going to go back home. I'm not going to make that tea time. That's pretty funny. Yeah. That's pretty funny. You know, so, LB, the LPGA played Brickyard not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Of course, that you played, Rodney and a few other guys,
Steve went up there and played it in June.
Yeah, this summer.
Yeah, it was sometime this summer. I'm trying to find I have my scorecard here. I think I did. Nope.
Really interesting to see. So, a course that you have played, now you're watching the ladies on tour play. Right. What are your thoughts?
How different it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I suck. if we didn't already know.
Could you make a cut on an LPGA tour event?
Maybe. So, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So, maybe. Because, hey, Cheyenne Woods made the cut. Come on now. I mean, really.
what did she shoot?
I don't remember.
Not 94.
No. So hold up. I take that back. I got her numbers down here. So she finished at, for the tournament, she finished at -5.
Okay.
But for the whole tournament, 4 days.
Yeah.
Right. $13,000.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Man, right. Yeah, that's terrible, right. Man. Ooh. She tied 31st and she got $13,000. Oh, Mariah Stackhouse.
Uh-huh. Stanford.
She finished at tie for 55th. $6,000 and -2. Oof. Ooh, Lord. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, since I'm doing numbers, let me tell you.
Yeah, wait, you said 200. Who was the winner for the 4 days? What was the
winner
score?
Was what's her name? Min-Joon Her. Okay. -21.
Oh my. Nice.
-21.
Stop the field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Her purse?
Yeah.
$300,000.
Ridiculous.
Wow. First place, $300,000.
2100, $300,000. That's it, huh?
A lot of people missed the cut. Christy Kerr missed it at +1.
Okay.
The say their name.
So wait, so she missed it at +1.
Yeah.
And you're saying you would have made the cut?
Yeah, I may have. Come looking at my scorecard. I mean, so
were you less than plus?
I'm just saying. I could clean this up here in the front. See what I'm saying?
That's funny.
I could have had a chance.
Aria Jatanigar.
Yeah, so okay. Yeah, the cute one didn't. Both, well, take that back. Neither one of them made it.
We don't classify them by the cute one.
Okay. All right. Well, the younger one and her sister.
Moria is the younger one. Yes. Aria is the oldest one.
The bigger one. The linebacker. By the way,
shout out to our buddy Lamar, who sent me a text saying he loves the show, especially the comments that I make about what listeners did not hear that I just edited out from LB.
Right.
He said that's one of his favorite parts of the podcast. Okay.
Well, you're going to edit this out too, because Erica Shepherd, she's an amateur. She's from Duke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Legs like you wouldn't believe. Okay. That's good. That can stay. That could probably stay. I think that could stay.
I'll put it on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. It might make a podcast, but not the radio.
Okay.
Federalist Network, man. We can't.
Okay. there's one lady, too, that played that was 22 weeks pregnant.
No.
Get out of here.
Yeah, her name is, hold on.
Serena? No, I'm just kidding.
Serena Williams? No. Her name is Brittany Lang. She finished at...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she finished at tied for 25th at -6. She won $17,000.
You know what? When you're making the kind of money they're making, you better get out there and play.
Right, yeah.
Got a mortgage to pay. Right.
Exactly.
Good night.
Yeah. Dude, but yeah, she's but I did a little research on her because I was curious, you know, about her being pregnant and everything.
Right.
She turned pro in 06. Guess what her, I'm going to tell you, it's kind of a Manny Millions type thing. You got to guess.
Okay.
Okay.
She turned pro in 06. She has 2 wins. She has 54 top 10s.
2 wins.
Oh, wow. 54 top 10s.
Wow.
Right? And what is her career earnings?
Her career earnings?
$3.8
million. No, I'm going to say $2.9.
So here's the thing, because I thought this is the numbers that was in there.
Right.
But I don't see how you get that on this tour when you only make $300,000 for a win.
Okay.
They got $6.9
million. Oh, wow.
Right.
Hmm. Well, yeah. You know what? Maybe a few of those were majors. Maybe the purse on a few of those wins were...
Right, I don't know how you get bigger than others.
54 top tens,
but that's still
that's a lot.
That's 13 years too, though.
Yeah, just 13.
That's 13 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, 13 for 6. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I wish so I made
one other little thing. She had 3 hole in ones. Just a little note about her. She's had 3 hole in ones. Her first hole in one she had when she was with a 7 iron. She was 10 years old in the tournament. She hit a 7 out of 106 yards. That was her first hole in one.
Nice.
Wow.
And she won that tournament because she was the only female competing.
Oh. Now, see.
So she won the women's bracket.
Yeah, right, yeah, right.
But back to the course,
well, check this out. We're going to take a quick break for our radio listeners, and we'll come back, and we will have LB compare his experience at the Brickyard with the LPGA experience, a cut that he would have made if he was playing
in that event.
I mean, because he routinely shoots better than plus one.
Well, you know, he drives longer than those women. I mean, just because.
That's coming back on Golf DMV. Stay close.
Hi, this is LB from Golf DMV. Have you thought about advertising your business? Well, consider us as your cost-effective advertising solution. We offer a variety of options and terms to meet your needs. Contact us at golfdmvpodcast.com for more information.
It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
All right, welcome back to Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network, golfdmvpodcast.com. Check out that website. Get a hat, get a cap, get a bag, and get a shirt once you see them up on the website. Previously on Golf DMV, LB was talking about how he would make the cut on the LPGA tournament at Brickyard.
Go right. Right. So I looked up there. They played at 6,400, I think it was, something like that.
Okay.
So it wasn't super long.
Right.
Which
you said 64?
I think they played around 64.
Got it.
So I'm looking at the scorecard now, which I still have. So the gold tees, which is the tips, is 7,100. Mm. The blue tees is 6,600. The whites is 6,000. And the green is 55. And they have a red at 5,000.
So you played the whites, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we played the whites because I was a bit Rodney and Steve, so we played the whites.
Oh, that's why. Okay. All right. You hear that, Rodney and Steve?
So you would have played the 64.
Hold them back.
If it wasn't for them.
Yeah, I would have played. I would like to play the blues at 66.
Really?
Yeah. What the hell? Why not?
Okay.
So, but just an example. So, the example of scores.
I'll be honest with you. I guess if you're playing a course of that caliber.
Yeah, let's
it's like let's a lifetime of kind yeah, of yeah. Like, why not play from the?
Yeah, let's get it.
I suppose.
So on one of the holes, for example, that I distinctly remember because I took pictures and video,
yeah.
And Vern did not like because they weren't up to his quality.
Well, Vern's a professional cameraman. Right, I mean, right now as we're recording, yeah. He's got four cameras rolling on us and lights.
Yes. I was late.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and my son, he's six, Manny, he's standing behind one of the cameras and it makes me nervous. Do not knock those cameras down.
Don't touch anything.
Because all that money the Tooth Fairy gave you for them teeth is going to be going to pay for those cameras.
All back.
Oh, no, he ain't going to have no teeth.
Even at $20 a tooth.
Yeah. I know.
That's a whole nother story.
So, hole number seven, which is a par three, it's kind of like one of the ones at Lake Presidential Whistle, a tabletop. Plateau type.
Like
green.
Hole 12, that par 3 on hole 12 on the back nine.
Yeah, gotcha. So it's kind of similar to that one.
Yeah.
So I remember that whole distinction because that's when I took the pictures and you put them on Instagram because they weren't
something here.
I'm just saying. Because I distinctly remember that hole.
Okay.
Because I took pictures there and it was terrible. You didn't like them. But so on that particular hole, I got a par on that hole.
Okay.
Right. And a lot of the pros was getting pars. Nobody was birding that hole because it's a tabletop and it's a big green, but it's a lot of hills and valleys.
A lot of undulations on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, I parred it. They parred it.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yep.
Same thing.
So facto.
What we talking about?
Okay. All right.
Hole number, was that number eight? I think it was number eight.
You got the scorecard in front of you.
Yeah, I'm looking, but I'm trying to remember the picture, though. Because there's one hole that it kept showing on the telecast
that
it backs up to. There's a big barn behind it.
Oh, yeah, that one is on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
That particular hole. I remember that hole.
There's like this pond there or something.
Yeah, there's a creek that runs down the whole right side of it.
Right.
In the fairway, and then you got some big, deep bunkers on the left that you can't even see from TV.
Oh, really?
But they're deep. Deep grass.
If you get in there,
bunkers.
You can't even see the top.
You, okay. No, you, yo, no, it's, be, yeah, you, it's way above your head. Because I know because I went in that one. so I remember that one. But it was kind of really cool seeing places. I'm like, oh, I remember that hole. I remember, I got over there.
That would be neat to actually watch them play a course
that you had played. Right. So that was cool. So that's all I got to say about the LPGA.
Well, is that will you have a situation like that for Avenue? Because you played Avenue.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And it was kind of reverse because I got to see the pros play on it twice. And not just on television, but like we were there. You know what I mean? And watched and walked it. And then to get to play it, number one, I'm thinking, how in the, I mean, these guys play for, from so far back. And we played from different tee boxes, obviously. And it was like amazing to me how far they hit it. I mean, we're playing from tees further up and they're still, you know, out driving. I'm driving the ball. Okay. I mean, it was just nuts how, you know, how long they play and how much control they have over the ball.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, shaping shots. And stuff
I mean, it's just, I'm like, how in the world did they, and like you just said, I'm thinking, oh, they must have, you know, shaped that right to left or left to right and then they hit it right over the tree. It was nuts. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. And then, and even with the putting. But although, like I said, I think I said this on the podcast when we talked about it, the greens weren't as fast as I thought. But I'm pretty sure that they just weren't rolled the same way.
Right.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Why would they do that?
For the average person.
Right, right.
Their whole thing is get us in and out for the sponsors, let us have a good time, and then get their money from the, from the sponsors.
Pretty much.
And then let the members get back on the course they'd have. But yeah, it is cool to kind of see yourself play the same holes that. Some of the pros play.
Absolutely.
Oh man, let's see what else. We got a lot happening here today. Let's talk a little about the PGA Tour. Cameron Champ finally won the tournament, the Safeway Open, right?
Yeah, I was
happy for him. Anything else to say about him winning the Safeway Open other than Cameron Champ did it?
Well, and it was an emotional moment because
the backstory. Yeah. I thought the backstory was pretty cool.
Yeah,
something with his grandfather.
Yeah, so I there was a couple articles on Golf Digest, and I think there's a bunch of stuff on their website as well, the PGA. Is it PGAtour.com?
Right.
Whichever one that is. I read a couple of them. So his grandfather, who is black, was in the Army, right? So in kind of how things kind of come together. So his grandfather was in the Army. He had gone to boot camp. On the way back from boot camp, they stop in College Station, Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they say, okay, everybody get off the bus, get something to eat, whatever, so we'll continue on. He gets off the bus from boot camp, goes into a restaurant, and gets turned away because he's black.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Years later, his son gets a scholarship to where? Texas A&M.
Wow.
Where is that? College Station, mm-hmm. Texas, right. Mm-hmm. Where his grandfather couldn't get anything to eat 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they did a whole little thing with him and his grandfather. Where they, I guess they interviewed his grandfather, and apparently his Cameron's father, who hadn't even heard this story. Apparently, his father He just didn't talk about the stuff that he went through with discrimination, all that kind of stuff during that time. He kept that all stuff to himself.
Right.
So a lot of this stuff that Cameron's father is finding out at the same time that Cameron is finding out about this.
Right, you know, because he shielded it.
Right, he just didn't talk about it. He just, you know, whatever. I think a lot of people do. Well, some people do. My parents didn't. They told me all.
Right.
They told me all the stuff they went through.
Right.
But for whatever reason, he didn't share that kind of stuff with his kids. So a lot of that has come out now that he's on his deathbed, basically. He's stage four.
Stage four, he's terminal cancer, and this might be the last time he get to see his grandson play golf, and he got to win. He got to win.
So he's the one who got Cameron playing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice. Yeah, apparently he loved golf, and he used to play, and apparently Cameron spent a lot of time with him, and that's how he got him.
Yeah, passed it down.
He passed it down to him and got him playing golf early. So yeah, it was very emotional. I did like the determination and grit that Cameron showed coming down the stretch.
Right.
Because when, who was it, Wolf that tied him? I forget. Was that Wolf that tied him?
Matthew Wolf. It might have been.
Might have been Wolf or some other guy, but that had tied him on the 18th hole.
Oh, okay. Right.
So he had to birdie that hole in order to win or go to, you know, or par to go to playoff. And because even the commentators were saying, because I listened to it on the European feed.
Right.
And when he pulled drive out on 18, it was like, oh, no. No.
Don't
you
do
not want to. You're right. They was like, oh, you don't want to take that chance. Mm-hmm. You know, you're close. You don't want to do anything to put yourself in a bad position, whatever. He bombed that baby like 360.
And he can hit.
Oh, yeah.
He can hit. He's a long driver. Yeah.
So when they hit it, the commentator said, oh, well, I guess that worked out.
I guess that's why we're here in the booth.
Yeah.
Guess that's why we're here in the booth, Jim. Yeah.
So,
his second shot didn't go as far as he wanted, and he was over in the rough. He had to get up and down for that birdie, and he left himself with a 4 or 5 footer that he sunk for birdie, and that was it. Because he had a 3 or 4 shot lead going into like hole 14. Right. And it all evaporated just that fast.
Yeah, that leap. Yeah. Now, you know who did not make the cut at the Safeway?
Yes. Who was
that? Yeah, old Tony Romo.
Yeah.
Old Tony Romo started off hot and he shot
two under the first round, right?
78 the second day. Bogey, six of the first nine holes out there looking like me, almost.
Nice.
Yeah. Instagram Phil didn't make it.
I'd be excited about 78.
I watched I didn't see that live, but I did go back and watch the highlights of Phil's implosion on hole number.
Did he implode or was he even trying?
That was a hole number nine. No, he was. I think he was trying.
Oh, okay.
And he hit. It was in the woods. Well, not in the woods, but it was in the rough.
Right.
Behind some trees, and instead of just like punching it back in, he tried to go around some stuff and then make this miraculous shot and end up going into the street.
Oh no,
that's Phil.
We talk about this season too. A couple podcasts ago about how it just started. You only see the big name. That's why when I saw him up there, I was like, oh, what's he doing?
Shocked that he's playing.
Yeah, what's he doing here? He needs some money. What's up?
Speaking of that, I mean, this is tournament happening now. I can't even remember the name of the daggone tournament,
The Hospital Shriners.
Not the St. Jude, but it's another one.
Yeah, I think it's the Shriners Hospital.
Yeah, one of those. So we're looking through. Phil Mickelson's actually playing in that one.
Yeah, he's at minus five, I think.
Yeah, but then we see this name Koepka.
Yeah, the Shriners Hospital for children.
And Brooks is in it, but there's another Koepka in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old Chase Koepka.
Yeah, I was about to call him Chad. Chase Koepka.
Brooks' younger brother, 25 years old. And so just when you thought it was safe to leave the house and taunt one Koepka for not winning player of the year, here comes another one.
Yeah, you said 25, right?
Yeah. You don't want to play slower in this tournament. No, you got two Koepka brothers on your back now.
Yeah, and going to what I just said, actually, I'm surprised Koepka's out here for this. So I guess they get their work in, sort of preseason work in.
Yeah.
Maybe staying tight, I don't know. Okay.
He had to do something, give him a reason to play, I guess, right? Because he doesn't practice. So he needed a practice round. So he figured, I'll play in that tournament.
I only play golf when you see me on TV. And it's funny because, you know, He kind of took a shot at Roy a little bit about his whole player of the year. So, you know, he was talking about, someone asked him, what did he think about it? And he was just saying, he doesn't care. I don't care. I don't play for awards. I play to win trophies, to win tournaments. And, you know, I thought it was just majors you cared about. You know what I mean? He says, it would have been great. But I think everyone in the room knows LeBron James only won 4 MVPs. But I'm pretty sure he's been the best player for more than 4 years.
Wow.
He's
that's like, a direct shot.
Exactly. Yes. Like, I may not have won that, but that doesn't mean I'm not the best player, you know.
Everybody in the room.
And he also talked about a little bit of, he had some stem cell stuff done on his knee, and so he had some knee stuff happening, and his patella tendon was partially torn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so he was rehabbing that and stuff like that. So.
So he was injured during the season is what he's saying?
It looks like it, or at least it was.
At least towards the end.
Yeah. He said he divulged the treatment he received the Monday after the East Lake finale. So, he must have been playing with it, you know, just got it cleaned up afterwards.
Okay. He put a tiger with his bum knee back in the U.S. Open.
U.S. Open 2008. Rocco Media. Where he was hopping.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They can keep the award. I almost beat you fools with a torn patella tendon. So whatever.
Everybody knows who the best in the room is. I'm not at all salty about the award. I don't even want your award.
I don't even want the award. So you got Brooks out there, and then you've got Chase. And so, you know, let's see what's up with Chase Koepka.
Do you want to do a Manny Millions from the Safeway Open?
I do want to do a Manny Millions from the Safeway Open.
All right. So, let's see. Manny Millions from the Xavier Open, which was a week ago now. By the time you hear this, it'll be 2 weeks ago, probably.
And by the way, we got a couple of emails from people who are new. They said they went back to listen, but in case you don't know about the Manny Millions, basically, my son Manny, he's 6 years old right now. He loves to play golf. I don't want to put any pressure on him to like be the greatest golfer of all time. So I'm like, you know what? If you just make the tour and finish in last place, I'm happy with that. Low expectations. So we say, you know, let's just see how much someone would make if they are on the PGA Tour. They make the cuts, but they finish in last place. And so we found out that they win a little bit over $600,000 a year.
Right.
Yep. Which is pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not
so
bad.
So we just track this. We track who finishes last place in every tournament.
And it also introduces us to some players that we don't normally talk about.
That's right.
LB does a phenomenal job, by the way, in this research.
He does. Yeah.
Thank you. So this week's Manny Million was Scott Pearson, we all know that name, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, Scotty Pearson from Wyoming, right? That one? Oh, not that one, a different one.
No, not that one.
Oh, a different one. Okay.
That's a different one. Okay. So, Scotty finished at plus five. He won $13,926. He is 6 foot.
13.
Damn, personally, why you at the Safeway, bro?
We can get that for winning an LPGA event. It seems like.
Play the Whole Foods event, son.
You're stepping up.
Skipping.
Whole Foods event.
He's 6 foot, 180 pounds. He's 40 years old. He's married, got three rugrats, and he lives in Las Vegas.
40 years old. It's hope for 40. Me. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
He's a man. He's a grown man.
Yeah, he's a man. He's 40.
So he turned pro in 2001. Okay, so here we go. Here's some numbers for you.
Okay.
He has four PGA wins. He has four second place showings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Five third place.
That's not bad.
35 top tens.
Mm-hmm.
He's played in 288 events.
35 times.
Okay.
And he's made 188
cuts. 188
cuts
in 19 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is his
total earnings?
What's his career earnings?
I'm going to say $13.5
million. I'm going to say $8.5 million.
Vern, you would be wrong.
Yep.
$19.7 million.
Oh. Yeah.
It's those wins and top tens.
Yeah, four wins alone right there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's like $5 million.
That's
right
$5 million.
There.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah, I used to be good at this.
A couple little things about him. See, he helped lead his high school team to two straight soccer titles.
Okay. Multi-sport athlete.
There you go. When he's warming up, he listens to hip hop and R&B.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, turn up.
There All you right. go. And he loves classic cars, so I kind of like that part of him. Yeah. But he's an old head, so that's what we do.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's it for the old Scotty.
Okay.
Yep.
Good for him. There we go. Did you guys see this story about the Korean tour player?
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you about this on the heels of the Vontaze Burfict thing. Compare the two sports. Right.
No, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So Bio Kim, that's his name.
Yes, Bio.
Yeah.
Yes.
And which is interesting because when I heard this name, Bio Kim, it reminded me of that Cobra hybrid that you have, the Bio Cell.
Bio
Kim. Now, here's the thing. So he's playing this tournament. And he gave a fan the middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically he was on the tee box and he was swinging, he hit the car. And I think the guy was taking a picture or something.
Yeah, I think the shutter.
And it made a noise.
Right.
And so he turns around, he gives him the middle finger and then slams the club he has a Jimmy Walker.
Yeah.
Right.
But then that was it.
Right.
Yeah, and then that was it.
That's the end of it.
He goes on to win this tournament.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, he is the tour money leader on the Korean tour. They give him a three-year suspension.
3 years.
And he apologizes.
Right.
But not a regular apology. Mm-hmm. Not a Brooks Koepka apology.
No.
Not this one. If I offended anyone, I apologize. Yeah. No. He sincerely apologizes, like on his knees.
He gets down on his knees.
Really?
At a news conference. There's a bunch of cameras and people around him. He gets on his knees.
Jeez.
Down on his knees and apologizes for giving this dude the bird.
Highlighting the cultural differences, man.
Right.
I mean, not calling it not negative or positive, but just like the sensitivity on the Asia. Because listen, Sergio Garcia would never be able to play on that tour.
Exactly.
Ever.
And that's what I was telling Claude about. How is it that they give this dude 3 years banned for flipping somebody the bird? Sergio acts a fool almost
giving him the old TK salute, as we call that.
Right, exactly. Sergio spits in the cup.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Drags come across the green.
Right. Destroys
middle
courses.
Fingers. 3 years.
3 years.
Costly birdie.
Yep.
And he's the man on that tour. He's the money tour. Right. He's the money tour leader.
That's like the tour, you know.
Suspended Brooks or something
Brooks
like that.
Brooks or Rory for doing that.
That's wild. Son.
For 3 years?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, a tournament or two.
Right.
A month. What we talking
about? Not even. Just fine him, bro.
Right. Exactly.
To me, but this, again, this is my American sensibility.
Right.
And then, you said 3 years for him. And then, what's the guy from, the Swedish guy who did the stuff on the plane? I can't remember his name. He'd be out of the league.
He'd be banned for life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
Conduct unbecoming.
They really went overboard on that.
Yeah, I agree.
Good night. Watch what you do if you're on the Korean tour.
But the question is, does the PGA tour need to take a... Does the Korean tour need to take a lesson from the PGA? Or does the PGA need to take a lesson from the Korean tour?
Probably. So this is two extremes then.
Right,
so probably
exactly.
Just go and learn from each other.
The PGA don't do nothing.
Yeah.
They don't do nothing.
You need to tighten up a little bit and you guys need to really mellow out.
Exactly.
If the lead money winner, you know, whether it's Roy McIlroy, even if you want to go Brooks Koepka, whoever, anyone in the top five would have done that. There would have, I don't think there would have been any repercussions.
No.
If there was a player who, or a fan who made a sound, whatever the sound was, mm-hmm. right. when one of the guys were swinging,
right.
and they turned around and stuck their middle finger up mm-hmm. and slammed the club down, there wouldn't be any repercussion on the PGA Tour.
No. Maybe a fine. That's all I can see is maybe a fine.
It would have been more of a social media
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
that's
why I think he would have yeah. got a fine, because people would up on him and like, and golf people like, all right, it's $20,000.
It would have right. been this term that I've coined called convenient morality. All these people would have worked out the morals and how can you such and such when they do the same thing, you know, exactly. just sitting in your house. And
they do it every day in the car because they're driving to work.
Yeah. Yeah. He can't do it because he's different.
You're cussing at your kids, but you're mad at a golfer who stuck the middle finger at somebody at a golf course.
Oh, man, it's your kids cussing after listening to you cuss. Where'd you learn that from?
You.
I'm telling you, in one of these years, I'm going to write a book called Convenient Morality, and I'm going to dive into how people have these raised morals mm-hmm. when it's someone else, that's but all, when it's them mm-hmm. or someone that they're sympathetic to, they want right. them to get a break.
It's 100% yeah. arbitrary yeah. when you choose exactly. to enforce it. Yeah.
It's sickening. But anyway, it's Golf DMV. We got a few moments left up. LB, you're going to be on WPFW soon. Yes. You're always on WPFW.
Well, maybe
Marcus
not.
Johnson was recently on WPFW, wasn't he?
Yeah, I DM'd him on our Instagram because I happened to be in the car one day. He was on one of the shows talking about his new CD he released, as well as just music in general and that kind of stuff.
Right.
It was a pretty good interview. So.
We had him on a recent episode of Golf DMV, and mm-hmm. I tried his Flow Wine brand, the red mm-hmm. and the white.
Oh, you did? Well,
yeah. I will not review it unless he becomes a sponsor.
Okay.
I'll just say
there
that.
There you go.
Okay.
So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so this coming Thursday, October the 10th, from 12 noon to 1 p.m., I will be co-hosting the Don't Forget the Blues show with host Christy Property. Again, raising money for WPFW. They do a fund drive every season, basically, right. for, you know, four times a year.
Right.
Because it is listener-supported radio, no commercial underwriting, all that kind of stuff. So the only way they stay on is by people's from donations from the listeners. So I support them. I hope you will as well, and support me while I'm on it. At least, if nothing else, just listen or call in and say, hey, I heard you or something. I don't know.
Right.
But it's, again,
right now.
12 noon from 1 p.m. on Thursday the 10th. October the 10th. If you're local, it's 89.3 on your FM dial. If you can listen online from anywhere in the world, from WPFWFM.org.
Got it.
Got it? So please call in. If you do...
What's the website again?
WPFWFM.org.
Got it.
And if you do... So if you're also gracious to call in and make a pledge or do it online, either way, please say Golf DMV.
Sent you.
Because that way I can say Golf DMV in the radio, and everybody's happy.
That's right.
Nice. And by the way, you know, sometimes I get up early. I've got to do early morning radio here in the DMV, and I'll turn on WPFW because they got some good jazz on in the morning.
Absolutely.
It's you know, and it's because it's still dark outside. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to wake up and get my mind right.
Yeah. Right.
And so I just turn WPFW on. I get some good jazz going on.
The Saturday programming on WPFW, for me,
Is
hands down. I don't change my station from the time I get up Saturday morning until about 4 o'clock. It stays on. Because it's oldies. It's old school. Mm-hmm. It's old school R&B. To me, it's
the best selection.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can get with that. The other one more shout I need to put in to is a couple weeks ago, I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Garfield Turner.
All right.
He is a... high school basketball player, senior. He's 6'8".
Oh, wow.
6'8". He goes to Covenant Life School in Gaithersburg. I had some stuff on Craigslist. Their parents came to get it and happened to meet him. Real nice kid.
Right.
But I did do a little bit of research on he's doing really well. He's got a bunch of scholarship offers already.
Okay.
So if you all play basketball, if you're in the DMV area and you happen to see him or get a chance to check him out, I highly recommend just a nice kid. And we wish him all the best.
Actually, I had a rules question real quick, if we had enough time real quick. Mm-hmm. So I read this thing on Golf Magazine or one of these magazines the other day where you got to tell me, is this guy jerk or no jerk? So he writes in that basically he's on like the apron or the fringe and he wants to putt up onto the green. And his buddy's on the green, but his ball's in his way. And his buddy says, and I didn't know, like, I thought this was a rule, but his buddy, you know, he's like, hey, man, I need you to move your ball out of the way. He's like, well, you're not on the green, so I don't have to. You can only have to mark or lift your ball if you're on the green or something. And the guy's like, well, come on. He's like, no, I don't want to, you know, I guess he didn't want to give him an advantage or something.
He's a jerk.
Yeah, yeah. So he left his ball there. So his buddy had to like chip over it or something like that. And he said it ended up still working out. But the point of the email was like, you know, are you required to pick it up or can he just leave it there, you know, if the other guy isn't on the green, basically. And thankfully he is a jerk because they wrote back like, yes, if your ball interferes with the line of play for another player, you do have to move it. You do have to move it. Yeah.
Especially on the green. He was on the green, but the other ball was on the green.
Exactly. Yeah. The jerk was on the green, and he was saying, he basically understood it as, since you're not on the green, I don't have to move it. I don't have to move it. I can leave it here.
And he has no basis for thinking that because that's not a rule, right?
Exactly. Because the other guy was like, oh, I guess you can't. He's like, yeah, you can't lift yours. You know, I mean, I don't have to lift mine because you're not up here.
So many people say BS, but they just sound sure when they say it.
Yeah.
That people just believe.
They believe it. I'm glad he chipped up and made par still or whatever it was. But when I read it, I was like, what a jerk.
I wouldn't even play with that guy.
Yeah, dude, are you serious? Hopefully he's not a friend of his. He's just somebody
he got paired with or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about it. Like, when we're playing, I mean, we play ready golf. Right. We do all kinds of stuff. And it's like, you know, come on, man. We're just out here playing weekend golf or just trying to, you know, what are you
trying to enjoy?
Yeah, just move your ball, man.
I'll say, even for money, though, I'm good. In the spirit of competition, I'm moving it. Like, if you can make the putt off the fridge, make the putt, but I'm not,
I'm not going to impede.
As a matter of fact, I can't even think of a time where we're playing and even with people like Aaron or whoever else will come out with us,
right?
Where anyone even asks us to move a ball, usually it's like, hey, do you need me to mark this? Like, we will ask. Like, if I see you line up, hey, you need me to move this ball? You know,
mark it left or right. Do I need to move it? Is it good where it is? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Could be decent guys, I guess.
Yeah.
GolfDMVPodcast.com. That's the website. Get all your information there. Guys, we got a lot to catch up on. We'll be back next week. We'll have a review from Waverly Woods.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see how that goes out. I emailed Joe Hills just to let him know we're coming. I'll let you guys know what happens.
All right. one more quick thing. In the September edition of Golf Digest, there are two good articles about Lee Elder. So if you get a chance, check those out. Very good articles.
I will.
I just recommend those. It's good reading.
All right.
All right, folks. We out.
Good night.
This is Golf DMV.
I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof.